670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Would the Bills ever play another game in Canada, and could we expect that in the near future?
I wouldn't rule it out. Like, look, I think we want to really build this the right way and make sure we're here kind of inspiring that next generation of football fans. Got a new stadium to launch, and we're probably going to play most of our games there for in the short term at least. But long term, yeah, we'd absolutely consider it.
Bills and Sabres COO Pete Guelli. Piece up at WBEN.com as well, talking about the future of Highmark Stadium hosting soccer events.
Yes.
Yeah. With the quote, that. Soccer is absolutely something we will zero in on. Brayton Wilson has that piece up at WBEN.com. We want that facility to be a multi-purpose stadium, and soccer is absolutely something we will zero in on. Josie Altidore talking about that as well. So, we'll see. The new stadium has got the potential to host the draft, potential to host the Winter Classic. Maybe not the Winter Classic, maybe just the Stadium Series.
Stadium Series, like an outdoor hockey game.
Yes, the Winter Classic could be a problem because the Bills might have home games.
Yep.
And that might be hard to kind of bake in.
You want to do a Liverpool-Arsenal preseason game at the stadium?
Let's go. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR, 803-0550, our phone number 1-888-550-2550. Still kind of looking back at that Baltimore game. We'll talk with Joe Marino coming up bottom of the hour. He's got an All-22 review of the game. We'll talk about that with him on the linebackers, the safeties, what the Bills can do. Was it really as bad as it looked? Sometimes, you know, the defense gets gashed and they fix three fundamental things. Like, all right, same guys can actually perform a lot better. Different opponent this week, the Jets. Lots to consider. 803-0550, the phone number. We also relayed a story from Fox Sports. They quoted Khalil Shakir and Josh Palmer. Palmer on the sideline asking Shakir, when do we open this thing up? And Shakir said, late second half, you know, that we got 17. The idea that maybe early on in the game they were conservative or not opened up.
Yeah.
But I read that and thought Josh Palmer is aligned with a lot of us. Like, let's rip it. And he was a part of that as well.
Is he the one who ran? He ran the most impressive route of the day, didn't he? The over-the-top against Jair Alexander to the corner.
Yep. I've got a thought for you on Keon Coleman that I'm so... It's going to be so fun watching this, and what I mean by that is people, I don't know if people are going to yell about it. If he gets a bunch of yards, no one's going to care about separation scores, and that's legit.
Right.
The thing about Coleman, so when he got drafted, a lot of the draft analysts thought he's best used in the slot. He should be best used as a big slot. And talking about people over the years that have done that, have played that role, or can he grow to be something else? And I think that Coleman has the potential to be the best version of himself. Forget about where he lines up. He has the best version to be himself. Sorry, the opportunity to be the best version of himself as a receiver by playing with Josh Allen. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. It's maybe a little bit counterintuitive. Coleman plays for another team. He might never get the ball because he doesn't get open early. He doesn't beat man coverage. He's not going to do that.
Right.
He can perform well against zone. And then what's the other thing he does? If my quarterback can buy me like two more seconds, I can really be good at getting open. He, multiple times in this game, was the trash man, the Allen looks for him. And not every receiver can get away with this. The Bills have their other compliments, Shakir and Palmer, and we'll see if Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel can kind of get in the mix here. But if Coleman spends the entire year, Joe, just catching balls in the scramble drill, can he go for 800 yards and 8 touchdowns? I want to say yes. A guy that might not get open in the traditional way, like, that's all right. We've paired him with a magician who needs someone to get open 7 seconds after the snap. And then the magician's going to put it in a spot, and that guy is going to go up and catch it off the roof of the building, and there's your first down, or there's your touchdown. It's not the traditional wide receiver one archetype, but it is very much useful in a Josh Allen offense. And the story that Allen wanted Coleman from the draft, or he's one of the guys he really liked, might have just been that. Might have just been, yeah, I can make it work with a lot of guys, but what I really need is the most reliable, most visible and most vertical, I mean actually jumping in the air, guy for those kind of plays. So if you're looking for him to be a true number one perfect receiver, I don't think you ever have to even worry about that. What he did in the fourth quarter, I know the Ravens backed off. I know there's a lot of game script in there. But I still think the game could get to a spot where the pairing with Allen is the real key here in a way that I know every quarterback in the league, every receiver in the league gets a glow up with Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I think Coleman might be really reliant on Allen, and it could be a really nice pair that work together.
That's all well and good. Can I make sure, though, he is the second or third read then on every single play? Because that looks good when 5-7 seconds after the play, and yeah, he's cutting across the field, and there he is, put it up high, and he goes and catches it. Can I stop running a fade route to him for the rest of time? Can I stop where the plan – there was one of these plays last year, I think, against the Ravens, where the planned play is Allen drops back to pass, Coleman contested catch. That's the play. Because that is your first look, is not an efficient play. But if it is going to be my 6 seconds into the play, Josh has scrambled out of the pocket, or pressure's collapsing around him, ball's got to come out, if that's what his role is going to be, that is useful.
Yeah.
But I never want to see – I just don't want that to tempt them into what it tempted them into on that two-point conversion, which is, you know what I should do here? Plan A, boys. We're going right to Coleman.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to ever be plan A.
They're going to keep throwing him fades. They're going to keep giving him red zone because they're going to view those, aren't they, as low risk?
But they are. They're, well, low risk how?
It's not going to get turned over. You use the sideline and the defender. It's going to be incomplete or it's going to be a touchdown. And, you know, it's – it protects Josh.
What about on a play where there is no next play? What if it's fourth and goal?
Well, I'm never going to like that.
2-point conversions. Like, these are plays where it's not there. You don't have a next play.
Yeah, because there's
like, I could just sneak it 2 plays later. So let's put it up to Coleman. That's fine. But in that spot where there is no next play, it's not an efficient play.
No, and it also, it's not quite a screen. But when you throw a fade to a tall receiver that can jump really high, you kind of do remove the magic of the quarterback. It's
a little bit.
You just gotta have to make a throw here. It's not a particularly, you know, whatever. It's not a magic Josh Allen throw like we see a lot. Anyway, 803-0550. Get some calls in here. Matt in Walk Hill. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? First time, long time. I appreciate you guys.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Yep, no problem. I just wanted you guys brought up kickoffs a little while ago, and it made me think about the conversation you guys were having yesterday about the galaxy brain move of running the kickoff out for the Monday night game.
Yeah.
And I was watching the game, and when it landed, you know, in the end zone, I couldn't believe it that they did not just kick that thing through the back of the end zone. And I was just saying, if the coach didn't have the utmost confidence that he could kick that thing through the uprights, then they probably should have just kicked it out of bounds.
Out of bounds, yeah. And Ben Johnson said that. He said it was a mistake and that they should have kicked it out. Yeah, he admitted, yeah. He said, we should have kicked it out of bounds.
Oh, okay. I didn't, because I was watching, trading 5 yards for a,
In which case,
right.
Matt, it's worth asking if the natural progression will mean more onside kicks. Because, all right, instead of the touchback, I'm going to kick it out of bounds. You get it at the 40. Well, for another 15 yards, I can take a crack at possession.
Right. You get a. It's only like, what, 7%? Very true. But give me my 7% lottery odds that it hits someone's leg and it bounces to
me. Right. Because if all that the team I'm kicking it away to needs to do is get three, you know, whatever, one first down and it's over, all right, I'll kick onside.
But to me, if I were Ben Johnson, that's what I would have done. Because I'm giving myself a shot at the ball. And if the return team jumps on it, 2 seconds aren't running off the clock. They shouldn't, at least.
Right.
You also have the home field clock operator. Maybe you trust him a little bit more, but 2 seconds shouldn't run off the clock if you just do that. I guess if you really got a sharp side on the other, it's Vikings, hey, O'Connell, if you get it clean, run backwards to kill the 2 seconds. I guess you are flirting with that a little bit.
A little bit.
If you have a bad onside kick and it bounces right to a smart player that he just like runs 5 yards backwards and kills 4 seconds. But that's what I would have done. I would have gone for the onside kick there.
803-0550. Speaking of smart players, like one thing, I don't know if Coleman, if they would have talked about this or addressed this, He ran out of bounds and then came back in and caught a two-point conversion. Saw a play this week where Christian McCaffrey ran out of bounds.
Yeah.
You see this?
Yes, I did.
And then he signaled to Purdy, do not throw to me.
Because Purdy looked like he was about to throw
to him. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like McCaffrey went out of bounds and then took himself out of the play knowing I'm no longer eligible. It's a loss of down. Right. It's a penalty. So,
Did you see what happened on that play? Purdy threw it to his tight end in the corner of the end zone. He caught it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know if he was ever going to go to McCaffrey, but McCaffrey had the presence of mind to say, like, not here. He put his arms, like, to the side, like, incomplete. Brad in East Aurora. Thanks, Mark, for the phone call. Hey, Brad.
Super happy about the win. What a surreal win. That was awesome. I'm a firm believer a win's a win. I hate to nitpick, but here I am. So I think the Bills missed a huge opportunity on their second drive to go up 14-3 on the Ravens. I think that's our best chance to win against the Ravens' super unique team that can run the ball like nobody else. I also think this is a bad measuring stick for the Bills' defense. No other team runs the ball like that. Lamar's so special. Derrick Henry's so special. It's just, you know.
Yep.
Well, let's see what happens the rest of the season. You know, let's not say our defense is terrible after this week.
Sure.
The last thing is, there must have been a rule change about punts. That punt after one of the three and outs early in the game where it touched the Ravens player but wasn't a fumble. I was so pumped to see that after our bad offensive series, but it didn't come to the Bills.
No, that I believe has always been the rule, that if it touches the kicking team first,
yes,
then actually you've seen this for years probably. If you get down around the 5-yard line and it touches the kicking team, like but they leave the ball there,
you pick it up.
What will the returner do?
You pick it up.
He'll
and run.
Pick it up and run. Sometimes you've even had touchdowns on that. Why? Because there's no threat of losing the fumble.
Right. There. As soon as it touches the kicking team,
so
you have the option of taking it back where it was touched.
Yeah, I think that rule's been around for a long time.
Okay. Additionally, two other points here. I'm glad you brought up. They had the ball. The second and one, third and one punt. They're up 7-3 with the ball, and that's where game script comes into everything. You go 14-3, all of a sudden the Ravens are in chase it mode instead of you.
Right.
And that's where, you know, you could get mad. The Bills are, their defense is giving up points and points and points, and you want to play a low event game, but
670 The Score's Mullen Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullen Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, going up there, making a better couple decisions on second and third and one could have changed the entire course of the game. The one thing, I think it's a good debate, and there can be one of these two things are true scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Ravens a good measuring stick for the Bills' defense? Yes or no? In the season-long rankings, no. What it's going to take to win the Super Bowl, yes. The measuring stick for the Bills,
right?
When we're in the drought, you don't measure yourself against the best teams because you're not one of them. Now you are. The best teams are your measuring stick. The Ravens, I'm sitting here telling you, I don't think the defense is as bad as it looked on Sunday night, but that's the team when they meet in January. I'm going to look at that game as the measuring stick.
Right,
so,
there's a bit of their defense isn't as bad as what it was against the Ravens. Isn't their defense whatever it is against the Ravens and the Chiefs?
Pretty much, yes.
That is what it should be. That's what their defense is.
If they shut out the Dolphins and the Saints in back-to-back weeks, like, congratulations. That's great. In league standards and in your statistics and your rankings, that's great. But to borrow from golf, like, it's match play. That you have to beat them. So I think it's one of those two things can be true kind of things. I do view the Ravens as it kind of gets to the larger point about, hey, the Bills always give up 30 to the Chiefs in the playoffs. That's right. They don't give up 30 to every team. They give up 30 to them. So that's the measuring stick. That's why Brandon Bean's going out there and overhauling the defense. Not because the defense looked decent against the other teams, but what did they look like against the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Not good enough.
And really, the caller asked, like, you know, other teams you might face. There are, like, three teams I see where it's not the Ravens, but you'd want to see if their run defense performed in these games, it would give you more confidence
Eagles.
About a January matchup. It'd be the Eagles in week 17. it might even be this week, like the two Jet games, okay. Breece Hall, like given how effective he looked right away. And then
the Falcons?
I was going to say, yeah, because of Bijan.
They have a good run game.
But that's really it. Like, I'm not worried about Kansas City for this. I'm not worried about Houston or Pittsburgh or Miami, certainly.
It's also, like, run defense versus pass defense. It's a great example to make here. We worry about the rankings on how good they are against the run or the pass in the regular season. You get to the game, who cares? Right. Like, if the Falcons find that they can pass against the Bills to Bijan and Bijan Robinson makes them look foolish in pass coverage, well, then who cares about the run defense? It's overall defense. So
yeah,
they could, I do not think they will look as bad as they looked maybe the rest of the season. But
right, who would do it to them?
Right.
Cincinnati, maybe.
Cincinnati throws for 480 yards against them. Well, seriously, right. Burrow throws for 500 yards against them. Holy cow, that's terrifying. Cincinnati misses the playoffs. Well, who cares?
Yeah, right.
It's match play. So thanks for the phone call. I don't think you're wrong. I think it's kind of fun to live in this world where, you know, these super concentrated matchups are what matters. Bob in Syracuse is next up. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Remember that game? I think it might have been 2008. Remember the McKelvin fumble game? You guys remember that game?
Yep. Oh, yes.
Remember? You know, one of the things I was thinking back to that game, what if the Bills had a quarterback that could do something like that to another team?
Yeah.
And now it's us, right? So it's just those are games that we lost. And now these are games that we're potentially winning moving forward. So that's a cool thing. Just want to talk about one thing with the matchup with the Jets. It's definitely not a smart move to look past this team. We know that they've given us a lot of problems, especially over the last 3 years at the peak of Allen's career. He's been decimated by some of those defensive fronts that the Jets have thrown at him. And even in the games that we won, Quinton Williams has given him a big problem. Some of the stunts that they do defensively, I remember he got hit on the blind side. The one game that we destroyed the Jets in New York, I was at that game, he got absolutely lit up by a corner blitz. I just think that the Bills are really going to have to be on their P's and Q's. And they're going to come after him because the book on Josh is you have to be able to pressure him. You have to be able to rattle him, get him off his feet, and do whatever you can to try to hit them. And that's exactly what they're going to do, and the Bills need to be ready for it. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Bob. I think about this matchup a lot, and the Robert Saleh Jets, they had pretty good defensive players, and they always played the Bills in an aggressive way. And this goes back to even when, Diggs is on the team as a number one receiver. They always played the Bills as if they did not fear anything that they did. Like, we're not afraid of anybody you have out there. Gabe Davis, we're not afraid of him. We're not afraid of Devin Singletary. We're not afraid of, I'm trying to think of all the years going back. And this version of this Bills team might be different with the way they can run the ball effectively. That Jets defense just gave up 4 touchdown passes to Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking maybe there's a transition going on there. Quinton Williams and Sauce Gardner are still good, but
Their line was great. Like, they sacked Rodgers 4 times. They pressured him a lot. Like, there was a lot of – Steelers had to get the ball out quick because the Jets' defensive line looked very stout, but everything behind that defensive line did not look the same.
Yeah.
Like, Gardner was it. Like, everything else, it looked – like, Rodgers had a pretty easy time. If he had any time in the pocket, he had a pretty easy time picking that apart. Calvin Austin, too. Like, not T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Like – that receiving core is not great. They also did get lucky where a ball like bounced from Metcalf to Jonnu Smith back to Metcalf to set them up for a game-winning field goal.
I didn't see that. That's how that happened?
Oh, it was a fluke. The flukiest play ever set them up for the field goal.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
CJ in Buffalo. Hey, what's up, CJ?
Hey, guys. Hey, you guys had me thinking about some other things, but I'll leave it at my one question. So I was thinking, do you guys think we still need a wide receiver? And I say that because I think about – we used to think how hard the offense looked when we had Ken Dorsey here. And I'm not here to say it looks hard. I'm here to say it looks like it's still just all Josh Allen. And with that being said, I'll give the examples of, just like you said, match play. Think about last year in a regular season when we played the Chiefs. Josh Allen made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. Josh Allen made it happen. So when we got to the playoffs, Josh Allen couldn't make it. I'm saying, do you think we still need that guy?
Thanks. You're breaking up a little, CJ, but I think we got the idea.
I'm good letting this trio roll a little bit here. Palmer, I thought, looked pretty good in week one. Shakir, and you're not – like, Coleman did what he was supposed to in the fourth quarter. So I'm good letting that trio breathe for a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's not really anybody you're going to add now that's going to make a difference.
You know, not over any of those three.
The receiver conversation was popping up in the first half and into the third quarter because it didn't seem like anybody could get open. I will – hold on, let me look at my crystal ball. Next year in the draft – shakes my crystal – I will be asking for receiver. Why? I'll tell you why.
New names on that board behind
you? I'll just tell you why. It's not that hard. It's a premium position. It's cheap to draft. Keon Coleman, if he pops off, will be a success story. Take one. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman is about to, if he puts up 1,000 yards, outproduce his contract immensely. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I got Josh Palmer for $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. And Curtis Samuel for 9, and maybe Samuel's gone, and Elijah Moore for 2.5. And like, of course, next year I'm going to want to draft one. Doesn't mean they have to have a true number one. A lot of this conversation has been spun into that. I'll endlessly say it'd be better if they did, but they don't mm-hmm. need one or they're going to die. They should keep drafting them, though. More. Draft more of them. Stop mm-hmm. spending $22 million on three guys on street free agent deals and just draft a guy. It's super cheap. Because I think they can use their player development in a lot of different ways. So, but no, I think the group as it stands now shows promise, and there wouldn't even really be anybody to add right now.
No.
But you do – but it always kind of gets to the everybody eats. If Coleman develops into a – you want to throw it to him 10 times a game. I don't think that is a problem. I think that is probably a preferred outcome. To have someone that you have such a good connection with is ideal to
yeah.
me. So anyway.
The guy you would add is more Kincaid.
Yeah.
You would add more Kincaid. I got into this a little bit with Sal, but not much. He played 51% on Sunday. In a game they were trailing, your pass-catching tight end wasn't on the field for half the snaps. 40% of their pass plays, he wasn't out there running routes. What's that about? He looked fine when he was out there. He caught a couple passes. The touchdown was really nice.
Nice touchdown catch.
He played less than Dawson Knox did.
And, of course, Jackson Hawes had the big play. Why do I keep saying Spencer Hawes? It didn't even make sense.
Were you listening when Nate said that on the air?
I don't even know why it happens.
Nate ruined it. He brought up some backup center from the NBA, and, like, now I do the same thing.
Yeah, there wasn't.
I keep wanting to say Spencer.
Yeah.
It's Jackson Hawes.
Yes.
Jackson Hawes. We need to get him a nickname so we don't make this mistake anymore.
There's Jackson Hawes, and there's Landon Jackson.
How about Ocho Cinco? It's available.
He
again,
is Ocho Cinco.
Yeah.
I need a better
Chad
nickname.
Johnson changed his name back, so I believe it is available.
It's available?
Yeah.
All right, we'll think about it. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast next, his All-22 review. Stay tuned for what we're going to talk about with the safeties. Joe saw some things from the safeties, linebackers as well, and where things went wrong for this Bills defense. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
670 The Score's Mullen Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mully and Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.